afterwards. Towards the end of the service today, we're going to pray for several people who are in need. Just a lot of different ones. We just like my wife said earlier, we don't always understand, and we've been come under a physical attack, it seems. We can always blame the devil for a little bit of everything, but we've got several that are sick, and we know, but we still know our Redeemer lives and our healer is Jesus, and so we just believe, still have faith and believe. But I want to preach a sermon this morning, and I hope it goes over. Hope I can get it across in the right manner, I guess I should say. Not hope it goes over well. I just hope I can get it delivered the way it needs to be delivered, in a way that you can understand, and I can get it out there in a way that would benefit you. And with the Lord's help, we can do that. Anyway, I want to entitle this today, When the Gadites Rise, Goliath Will Fall. Or, When the Gadites Arise, Your Problem's Going to Fall. However you want to face it, we're not going to talk a lot about Goliath, but we're going to talk about problems. How many here is problem free? Nobody's raising your hand. Y'all don't raise your hand much for anything, so I'm not sure whether you're telling me the truth or not. But none of us could truthfully raise our hand and say our life is problem free. Some of you are facing financial difficulty today. Some are facing health issues. Some just have wayward children, and some may be facing, there may be some things in your life that we are totally unaware of, and things in your past that we're totally unaware of that maybe you're dealing with today and trying to work through. But let's read scripture in Genesis, the 49th chapter in the 19th verse. And it says this, Gad, a troop, shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. Gad, there's a troop going to tramp upon him, but he, Gad, will triumph at last. And the English Standard Version of that says, the raiders shall raid Gad, but he shall raid at their heels. Raiders shall raid Gad, but Gad's going to raid at their heels. He's going to come right back after them. How many of you feel like that the devil has come in and took your stuff? He took your finance. He took your health. He's took your children. He's whatever it is. I mean, he's took it. He raided you. He took it away from you. Well, I think it's time we get up, and we're going to talk about the Gadites here in just a little bit, and for us to begin to pursue fearlessly and fiercely after our stuff. Go take back what the devil has stolen. Go take back your peace. Go get back your joy. Go grab back your finance. Begin to do what God's Word says and take back what he has stolen from you. Gad was the seventh son of Jacob. Just a little bit of background before we get going. He was the seventh son of Jacob, and his name means troop. And I think you've already figured that out. We know by studying the Bible that he was the first son born to Jacob by Leah's handmaid Zelpha. Now, that was a whole twisted mess right there. If you want to read about that, about Jacob and Rachel and Leah and Zelpha and the other maiden, Zelpha and Bila, it's a mess. When you begin to try to do things your way and leave God out of it, you can make a mess. So Jacob kind of made a mess. But anyway, him and his wives. But anyway, we know that he was the first son born to Jacob by Leah's handmaid, Zelpha. Leah, Rachel's sister, had borne him four sons before Rachel's jealousy. Come on now, she got jealous because she couldn't bear children. So she offered to Jacob her handmaid, Bilhah, who bore him two sons. And then since Leah had stopped bearing children, she said, okay, now, this just ain't right, so you can now have my handmaiden. So she bore him two more children, having Gad and one more. I have them listed somewhere here. I think I did. I had them listed somewhere, but I don't have them listed here. But yeah, I do somewhere. We'll read it here in a minute. But anyway, so end up with 12 sons plus the daughters. And so a large family, the tribe of Israel. That's where it came from, right here. And so we see that they bore all these children. But the two that Leah's maid Zilpha bore was Gad and Asher. And so there was a lot of children born to them, but Gad is the seventh son born to Israel. I had to get my Bible out, and I turned over to the chapter where it's talking about him, because I thought, I got to figure it out. Well, he's not the seventh one. And then I wrote them down. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 1, 2. And then here it starts again, 1, 2. Okay, he's 7. I want to make sure when I told you he was the seventh son, that he was the seventh son. But his name means troop. 1 Chronicles 5:18 says this, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh had 44,760 valiant men able to bear shield and sword, to shoot with bow and skillful in war, who went to war. 1 Chronicles 12:8 says this, some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained to battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as gazelles on the mountain. These were fighting men, this troop of men called Gad. The Gadites were able-bodied men. They were men of incredible swiftness. They could run like a deer, like a gazelle. The fastest little animal in Israel, a small deer-like animal, was very swift and could move quickly. They didn't fly from battle, though. They didn't fly from problems. They flew to the problems. They flew upon the enemy, and they pursued the enemy and scattered the enemy's forces. Think about that as I'm going through what they did today. Have you begun to pursue your enemy? Have you sat still? Have you been silent? Have you shut up have you just lost faith? Have you stopped believing God for your miracle? Have you just said, well, what's so going to be is going to be, and there's nothing I can do about it? Well, these men were men who said, when you come after me, I'm going to chase after you, and I'm going to take back what you have taken from me. Not only that, devil, I'm going to destroy you. I'll do it by faith. I'll do it because I love God. I'll do it because God has promised me all the promises in the Bible. They are yea and amen. I will take back. I'm not going to stand still for you stealing my stuff. You taking away my health. You destroying my finances. You taking my children away from me and causing them to be drug addicts. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to pursue hard after God, as hard after God as I do after my enemies. These were able-bodied men. They pursued and scattered those who came against them. They were swift as the roes or the gazelles upon the mountain, so that no man could escape them, and yet they had faces of the lion, and no man could outfight them. There's probably a problem. Probably there is a problem in the church today, maybe in our little church. We just become kind of complacent. We're called for a fast now, but we need to fast more. We need to pray more. But we kind of become complacent. Things are just the way they are, and we decide, well, that's the way they are, and that's the way they're going to be, and there's not a whole lot I can do about it, so I have faith that Jesus is going to bring me through, but do you really? You don't pray about it any longer. You just gave up. These guys, they were disciplined. They could outfight anything that come against them. They stood their ground, and if the enemy began to run, they chased after them. You're not going to get out that easy, sir. I'm coming after you. The Gadites were disciplined men, trained up to military exercises. They could handle the shield and the buckler. They could handle a sword and a bow and arrows and even a spear. Every weapon they had at their disposal, they were proficient. in handling that weapon. What about you today? You've got prayer at your disposal. You've got the weapons of our warfare. I'll get into that in a minute. Are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. We have the power of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the backing of the church and the backing of one another. And more importantly, we have the backing of God. We have all of God's arsenal right at our disposal. And yet we sit complacent and cowed down when the devil comes against us. And we begin to shudder in our boots, so to speak. And we become afraid because we might die. Or we become afraid because we might not be able to pay that bill. Or we become scared that something's going to crumble around us. I'm telling you, church, that God's still God today. He's still God. They were disciplined. We need to discipline ourselves in the weapons at our disposal. Learn how to use each of them proficiently at the best of our ability. They were schooled to use offensive and defensive weapons. I tell you, most of our battle scars are not from offensive weapons because we ran to the battle. Most of our scars today is because we turn tail and run. It's because we put up a defensive fight. We may have, oh, don't do that, devil. Oh, don't do that. Instead of wielding the sword of the Spirit and taking the Word of God and whipping him around with the shield or defending ourselves with the shield and taking the sword of the Spirit and just cutting him to pieces like Zorro would. Leaving our mark on him. Not a big Z, but a big C. I'm a Christian. I'm of Jesus Christ. Satan, you can't defeat me. Satan, you can't bring me down. Satan, you may win a battle every now and then, but I tell you what, I'm going to continue to pursue you. You may have me down, but I'm going to pursue you until I defeat you. I'll wear you down. When you think I'm right behind you, I'm as swift as a gazelle. I'm going to be laying a trap for you up ahead because I'm praying and I'm seeking God and I'm believing in God to bring me out of this and give me deliverance. They were schooled. They were daring men who could break through the greatest difficulties. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 12 verse 19 for just a moment. Well, I got to find it, don't I? There it is. It says, and some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to fight the battle against Saul. But they did not help them, for the lords of the Philistines sent them away. That's really not the scripture I want. I think I'm in the wrong place. No, it is 12:19. I don't know why I wrote that down, but we'll read it on. Let's read it. I'll read it. But they did not help them, for the lords of the Philistines sent them away by agreement, saying he may defect to his master Saul and endanger our heads. When he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him were Adnah, Josabad, Jedidiel, Michael, Michael, Josabad, Elihu, and Zelathiah, captains of the thousands who were from Manasseh, and they helped David against the bands of raiders, for they were almighty men of valor, and they were captains of the army, for that at that time they came to David day by day to help him, and until he was a great army like the army of God. And so we see where he did that. I think I'm in 1 Chronicles. I'm supposed to be in 2 Chronicles, probably. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I wrote it down wrong. That's all right. We'll move on. I've been reading it all this week, and now I'm at the wrong spot. It don't matter. We'll move on. These Gadites were the men. Anytime there was a problem, they were there. They were the first to cross Jordan when it was flooded. They didn't let nothing stop them. They didn't look and say, well, it's flooded, I can't go over. They were the first ones to cross over Jordan and drive out the enemy from the valleys. See, when they settled Israel, when they settled the land of Canaan, Joshua, when they led them across they settled on the other side of Jordan, but they crossed the Jordan to help, and they crossed in the flood and went to take the enemy. They didn't wait for nothing. These guys were fighters. They saw the need, they saw the problem, and they went to solve it. They didn't care who told them not to. They said, we're going to solve this problem. We're fighters. We're going to do this. They put people to flight. They had this lion-like face, and they had these fierce fighting abilities, and they pursued everybody with a matchless fury. They were willing to do whatever it took. And I'm thinking today that you and I as Christians, we must do whatever it takes to see our enemy or put our enemy on the run. We put up with some things too long, and I know you like to hear a good sermon that makes you feel good, and sometimes, you know, I don't do that very often, so forgive me if you have to. But we need to understand we're in a battle. This is not a playground that we're in. It's not some little kiddie thing that we're dealing with. It's not playground, you know, antics. It's not kids, a bully pushing you down on the playground. It's a little bit more serious than that. You can use that analogy if you want to, but the devil is a bully, and he is coming against us with everything he's got, everything within his power. He wants to destroy you. Get that straight. He's not just going to push you down and kick a little sand in your face. He wants to push you down, rub your face in the sand, and hold you there till you suck up enough of it that it smothers you. He wants to destroy everything about you as soon as he and as quick as possible. He wants you to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants to take away everything from you that he could possibly take from you. And I'm telling you today, we need to stand up like the Gadites and be a troop that triumphs at the last. That we, although the devil has come and he's took our stuff and he's pushed his will upon us, and it's time for the church to stand up and say, that's enough. I want to rise up. I want to see my Goliath fall. I want to see that thing that has been challenging me for months and for years, or maybe even years, I want to see that thing crumble. I want to see that thing fall. I want to take the sword of the Spirit and I want to quack it off at its knees. And once it falls, I want then to take my sword and cut its ugly head off. I want to destroy it once and for all. I want to get the victory over this thing that has had the victory over me for too many years, too many months, whatever it is in your life. Some of us have been fighting different things for years, and it's time to put that, to go ahead and finally kill that thing. Quit doubting God and finally kill that thing. And you can do that. These are able-bodied men. I remember the story of David over in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. And it's David had to align himself with the Philistines. If you remember that, well, Saul was pursuing him, constantly after him, and he had aligned himself with the Philistines and told them, if you'll just let me live here, I'll fight for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll help you. I won't fight against Saul or the Israel, but I'll fight all your other enemies. I'll do whatever it is you need to help me, you need me to do. Well, they fought a great battle one day, and you find over in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, you'll see that they came back from a battle, and the Philistines began to become a little bit suspect of David. So they'd sent him back from the battle, and he went back to Ziklag, his stronghold. That's where he stayed. That's where he had his wives and his children, and all of his men had their wives and their children and all their stuff, all their substance, all their silver and their gold and their animals. Everything was there. And so David came back from this battle, and a bunch of the Gadites were with him, by the way. There's a bunch of them with him. They were lion-faced fighting men. I mean, they if there was a fight, they was one of them type people that they liked to fight. Last night, I don't never watch this, but last night I just for lack of anything better, I turned over about 15 to 9, and there was a fight going on, and I don't know, a UFC or whatever it's called, I really don't know, but the man is almost bare knuckle, and they kick and they gouge, and it's pretty rough stuff, and it's just stupid. You might like that, but in my opinion, it's just dumb. But these two guys, 135 pounds, got up in that, and man, they just duked it out. I mean, 5-minute rounds. And they went four rounds to the fourth round, and they were just duking it out. They wasn't scared of being hit. They just fought. Finally, one of them just beat the dog out of the other, and they had to stop the fight. That's these Gadites. You put them in one of them, they're locked again. Pins and say, go get after it. They say, all right, let's go. They like fighting. They didn't mind being beat up a little bit. They didn't mind some scars. They didn't mind a little bit of blood. They didn't care if their hand got broke. They were just going to keep fighting because that was just in them. And they didn't want anybody, they weren't going to let anybody run over them. They were, I'm a child of God, you ought to say. I'm a Gadite in that sense. I'm a fierce fighter. There ain't no devil in hell going to run over me. Put me in an octagon with him. I'm going to whip him every time. He may get in some good blows. He may bloody my lip. He may bust my nose. He may even break it. But I'm going to guarantee you, before the fight's over, me and the Holy Spirit's going to work him over. I'm going to defeat my enemy. I won't turn tail and run. I won't try to find the exit. And you know what, church? A lot of people today, the battle gets tough, and the first thing they do, they find an exit door. Preaching gets too tough and they find a way out. The battle gets rough and they quit on God. They begin to fight sickness and they give up. They have a divorce and they quit. The child goes wayward and they just quit. They just give up on the least little thing. They get a bloody nose and they say, oh, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this. I didn't know it was going to be like that. Well, it's a battlefield. It's not a recreation room. We're in it for the long haul. The Bible teaches us to run the race with patience or perseverance, but to stay in the race. It's not to him that finishes first. It's to those that finish that get the prize. So we see a picture of David at Ziklag. He comes back from a battle, and you know, David's men, there was discontent men. There were terrible people running with him at this time, but they were his army. And they come back from this battle, and the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag and took everything they owned. Took their wives and their children and their gold and their silver and their animals, anything they could carry. They had carried it off, their servants, everything. What did David say? He did not. Now, his men got a little bit angry. So, oh, we're going to stone you, David. It's your fault. You took us out here to defend the Philistines, and now we lost everything. They threatened to stone him, but he called the priest and said, hey, bring me the ephod. I need to hear from God. And he asked God, God, shall I pursue after them? And God says, go after them. You shall not lose anything. You won't lose nothing. Go get them. And David took 600 of his men, and they took off after them, and they pursued hard after them. Church, the devil may have took some of your stuff. He may have took your joy. He may have robbed your peace. He may have be trying to destroy your children. It may be any number of things. I don't know what's going on in your life today. You know. You know what the devil's stolen. You know what you're facing tomorrow. You know what you faced yesterday. You know what it is that you feel like's about to drag you down and that the devil has taken from you. But David said, shall we pursue? And God says, go after them. You're not going to lose anything. And so they begin to pursue. After them, they come to a creek, a body of water, and 200 of his men. Now remember, they've been fighting a long time. And they just come back from a big battle, and they find out they've got to go again. And so 200 of his men just flat dab wore out, and they left them there. And the other 400 continued to pursue. They didn't give up because some of them had gotten tired. They didn't give up because they didn't have provision. They didn't give up because their wives hadn't patted them on the back and told them how great they were that day. They didn't give up because they didn't have a camel to ride. They didn't give up because the armored car was broke down. They just kept pursuing after their enemy because that's what they needed to do. Church, you can't quit just because it gets rough. And they kept pursuing, kept running after them. Finally, they come upon an Egyptian servant. He was almost dead. If you read the story, you'll see this. He was almost dead, and they inquired of him, gave him something to eat, gave him refreshment, got him back on his feet a little bit, said, now tell us, where'd you come from? And he told them about what had happened and how they had raided Ziklag and how that they were up ahead. And David went after them. He kept on. And he come up on them, and they were eating and drinking and partying. They thought they'd pulled a fast one. They thought they'd got away with it. Don't you know there's a party going on in hell right now? Don't you know that the devil and all his crowd, they think they've defeated you? They think they got your stuff. They think you've got your health. They've destroyed your finance. They've got your child in captivity. They've got your mind just stretched to as far as it can go. Fear has gripped your heart. They think they've got you. They're partying. They don't realize that you're a Gadite. You're fierce and you're swift and you're coming after them. You wielded the sword of the Spirit. Let's read over there in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, for just a minute, because I just think it's important right now. I didn't know whether I'd go there or not, but I think I will for just a moment. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And so David's coming after them. They put on the armor. They put on their fighting gear. And church, you need to put on your fighting gear. When David came up upon that army, just out there just having a good old time, he went in, he defeated them, he killed all but 400 of them who escaped on swift camels, the Bible said. He defeated every single one of them, took all of his stuff, plus some stuff, and went back to Ziklag. Carried it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. I'm taking it back. I'm not going to let him defeat me. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. Over in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says there's no weapon formed against us. No, it doesn't say that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you'll read that 2 Corinthians, ninth chapter, tenth chapter, the third verse, and you'll begin to read about that. But over here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Paul tells the church, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are there any Gadites in this church today? Is there anybody that wants to see their Goliath fall? I want to see it happen. Are there any giants in your life today that you need to see fall? Is there anybody? Or is everybody just doing, am I just preaching to some choir here today? All y'all okay? Nobody's dealing with fear today. Nobody's lost nothing you'd like to get back from the devil. All of you okay? Well, if you're okay, tell me. We'll quit. Go eat. I think we've all come under attack. Our nation's under attack. The enemy has come in like a flood. But I'm going to tell you today, the Spirit of the Lord's raising up a standard against him. So in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Once you run to the battle, you got to stand your ground. And these weapons are offensive weapons. First, it tells you to have your loins girded, your waist girded about with truth. Get the truth of the Word of God. It says stand first. First it says stand. Take a firm position. Get the battle lines drawn. Get from that corner to this corner. Lock arms if you may, but gird your waist with the truth of God's Word. You got to have the truth. You can't battle the devil without the truth. Put on the belt of truth. See, some of us are trying to fight the devil and we don't know what the truth is. We don't know what the Word of God says. And so, well, I think, or that someone else will tell you, well, this is what I think. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what we believe. And we need to believe what the Word of God says. Not what we think it says, but what it says. And so we have to be girt about with truth. And then we pull it. What that means is you pull up the loose ends of your garment. They wore tunics, and so they would gird up the loose ends of their garment, and they'd gird it up. They'd put that belt around it, and then they would be able. They were saying, "I am sincere. I'm in a commitment to fight this fight. I will win this fight. I win against hypocrisy. I win against self. I will have self-discipline. I'm going to see an outcome of victory." They gird up themselves. They're ready. They've got the word of God. Then they put on the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate was usually a tough, sleeveless piece of leather or heavy material that they'd put around themselves. And this righteousness that we're talking about is holiness. Put on the breastplate of holiness. Get righteous before God. This would protect their heart and their other vital organs. We need to protect our hearts today and every spiritual vital organ that we have. Don't let any weapon formed against you prosper. Put on the gird yourself up and put on the breastplate of righteousness, of holiness. Then you'll be protected against all Satan's schemes. Then he says to have your feet shod. I don't think your sheep need to be shod. And then you quench with this shield. I mean, I'm not there yet. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The peace. You have to have the gospel of peace. The good news that Jesus Christ has made you at peace with God. I'm at peace with God today. I have an assurance of that. If I had my feet shod, the Roman soldiers would drive nails or spikes into their down through their sandals so they could get a firm grip on the road or on the ground when they were fighting a battle. They would place their feet hard in the ground, and they were firm about it. They weren't going to. It was hard to move them. We need to learn that it's going to be hard to move. That we made up our mind. We're going to fight this fight. You see, they had faces like lions. They were fierce and bold, and they intimidated. That's what it meant. They didn't look like some cat with fur, some big lion, but they intimidated their enemies. Church, you and I need to get bold like that, intimidate our enemies. Intimidate the devil. He knows whether you're righteous or not. He knows whether you got the armor of God on or not. He says, then you have to take the shield of faith. That faith is everything, it involves everything that's necessary for you to be victorious. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Well, they had faith. They put on the whole armor of God. And they didn't even know what it was. They didn't have the teaching we've got. And they put it on. The shield of faith. Why? So you could quench every temptation that the devil would throw against you like flaming arrows. He throws it your way, and you're able to quench it and stop it and turn it away as you march forward. And then the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. That protects your head. Always a major target. Don't you realize, church, the devil wants to get in your mind? Most of you, he's already there. All of us, he gets there, whatever chance he gets. You got to keep on the helmet of salvation. Guard your mind. Some of you are walking around with a spirit of fear today. Fear about what tomorrow holds. Fear about whether you're going to get well. Worry that you might die. Worry that your sickness is going to be the end of you. Worry that your family might be going to leave you. Concern your husband is going to get angry and divorce you. You got all kinds of things running through your mind. That's the spirit that you need to put the helmet of salvation on for, to help you stop the doubt and stop the discouragement, to clear your mind so that your feelings line up with God's word. I know there's some of you facing some major obstacles. There's no doubt about that. I know it's difficult at times, but are there any Gadites in this place? Anybody willing to fight the fight? To run hard after him? The Bible says in Proverbs 28 verse 1 that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. How bold is a lion? They're not called the king of the jungle for nothing. Have you ever watched National Geographic and you see the way the lions operate? Man, they work as a team, and they're fierce and they're loyal up to a point. They have hierarchy and all that stuff. That's not what we're talking about. They can fight. You hear a lion roar. If you hear a lion roar and you're out in the jungle, what are you going to do? You're probably, if you don't have some way to protect yourself, you're going to become just a little bit frightened. Well, we are the lions of God. We are the Gadites today. That's what I'm trying to give. We are the righteous, and we are bold as lions. Proverbs 30:30 says they're the strongest of the beast. That's what the Bible says. It goes on to say that the lion does not turn away from anything. Amos 3:8 says that you can hear a lion roar from miles away. And you can. When they begin to roar, you can hear them, and you know that's a lion. You know that there's something going on. However, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion, however, seeking whom he may devour, not who he can devour, who will allow him to devour them. And I refuse to let him devour me today. I'm going to take my sword, and I'm going to pierce him asunder. I'm going to destroy him. However, Revelations 5:5 says that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He has overcome the devil, and we too can overcome him by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb today. We are victorious today in Jesus Christ. On the other side of this coin, I'm trying to hurry, but on the other side of this coin, your Goliath or whatever it is you're facing is nothing more than an uncircumcised Philistine. It does not have a covenant with God. It cannot claim the promises of God. Goliath may look big, and he is. Your problem may look big, and it might be today, but your problem is no match for God. See, we have begun to think our problems are bigger than anything we face. Are bigger than any source of power that we have. Maybe that's how I should say it. We begin to think that our problem is the worst problem that anybody's ever faced ever. It may be a big problem. Your sickness may be big today. Your financial problem may be very big today. Your marital situation might be a very big problem for you today. Whatever it is, I can't name everything, but there's things in everybody's life that seems very big to them at the time, and it might be, but it's no match for the Gadites. It's no match for God's people. It's uncircumcised. It's not in covenant. You are in covenant with God today. And if you are in covenant with God, you can claim every promise in the book. Every promise of good in the book belongs to you because you are in covenant with God. Yeah, well, I don't want it. Well, I think some of us rather walk around in our problems with our pity parties looking for sympathy rather than taking the armor of God, putting it on, put it on a fierce face and said, "Devil, hit me with your best shot. Because I'm fixing to bring you down. Me and the Holy Spirit's fixing to whoop you. With God on my side, I can't be defeated. Sickness cannot defeat me. Death cannot defeat me. I'm going to make it." We need to rise up as bold as a lion today. Decree and declare your victory over Goliath. Stand for truth amid the rebellion. It's time to roar. It's time to declare victory over whatever is attacking your life and your home. What is your Goliath today? Is it sickness? Some kind of cancer? Heart disease? Diabetes? Is it physical or is it mental abuse? Do you fight depression? Maybe you have financial lack. Maybe it's your temper, your bad attitude, or maybe it's low self-esteem. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you're having conflict at your job or at school. Maybe you have an unsaved family member or a drug abusing child. I don't know what your Goliath is today. There's any number of things it could be. Thousands of possibilities. Perhaps it's just your daily struggle to remain faithful to God. Maybe that's your Goliath. You don't have any real major problems, but you just struggle being faithful. Maybe your past is trying to drag you down. It's time to get victory over your past. It could be any number of things, any number of struggles, temptations, or sin. But I just want to ask the question, are there any Gadites in this place today? Anybody ready to run to the battle? When the Gadites rise, Goliath's going to fall. Brother John Rhodes put something on Facebook yesterday, and I wrote it down. I want to share it with you. It's nothing fancy, just this, and it kind of goes along with what we're saying. Maybe you're wondering today why you're going through what you're going through. Well, think about this. The same God who turned water into wine can turn your pain into somebody else's gain. Your hurt to healing. Your worst day into your best day. Always remember, God will turn your test into a testimony. Hold on. You're going to make it. Hold on. You're going to make it. Faith is knowing where. Faith is not knowing where, when, or how. It's just knowing. It's just knowing. Are there any Gadites in this place today? Anybody ready to defeat the devil? Anybody ready to chase hard after your enemy and take back what he's stolen from you? Well, would you stand with me in this place today?